A Playlist Original.
Welcome to the Pilot Podcast,
where we watch the pilot episodes of TV shows to answer your question, should I watch this?
My name is BJ.
And my name is Me Too.
And this week, we're checking out Country Comfort on Netflix, Invincible on Amazon Prime Video, Zero Chill on Netflix, and Calls on Apple TV+.
So stay tuned to the end to find out if BJ has ever been an ice dancer.
No.
Beach, that's the spoiler.
Well, we still don't know if you have, so there's a mystery remaining.
Okay, so let's start with Country Comfort. On this Netflix show, Bailey, played by Catherine McPhee, is at a low point in her career. Her relationship is on the rocks, and she's been kicked out of her band. A storm brings her to Beau, played by Eddie Cibrian's home, where she may start a new life as nanny slash singing superstar. So how did you feel about it?
Very much channeling the vibes of The Nanny, because Bailey is mistaken as The Nanny.
Shout out to Francast.
Exactly. They can cover all of that for you, including interviews with her. Back to Catherine McPhee as Bailey. I felt kind of sad seeing her at such a low point. Her boyfriend broke up with her and kicked her out of the band that they've had for like 9 years.
And her boyfriend is played by heartthrob Eric Balfour. So that's a tough man to lose.
She's in a storm. Her car breaks down. She can't make any phone calls. Literally everything is working against her. And then she walks into a house of some creepy kids who just lull her in. And then this one kid, the youngest, Chloe, 6-year-old girl played by Piper Braun, basically treats her like her new mom. That's a lot.
Okay, let's talk about that. So in the pilot episode, her car breaks down. She walks into this house. These 5 kids take her in. They think that she is coming to interview for the nanny position, when in reality, she just needs someone to help her fix her car. Typical sitcom antics occur with the kids. And then the dad gets home and is fine with this stranger being in this house, chilling with these 5 kids. The girlfriend is not. And the girlfriend is being positioned as this rude person, but in reality, she is the only person with a healthy sense of skepticism around this adult that these kids are clinging to that none of the other adults who are actually in charge of the kids are familiar with.
She's the only one asking questions. Are you a professional? Do you know CPR? Why are you here?
One thing I will say about the show is it was very conservative, clearly set for a very specific crowd, but had a lot of dirty jokes too. There were jokes with the oldest sons being sexually attracted to Bailey, and that's why they wanted her as the nanny, to fulfill some sort of nanny fantasy. And even the daughter, Cassidy, that everyone said she would have to win over, played by Shiloh Verico, made a joke, she's never gonna date you, or she's never gonna whatever. It was just a weird juxtaposition of like clearly a show positioned for families, especially country loving families, but then lots of weird sex jokes about the babysitter and these children.
And to shift to something weird, not that I'm ignoring your very valid point about sexualizing Catherine McPhee, how did you feel about the children's country accents?
All over the place, especially Chloe's accent. It was just like, I'm not going to do a country accent, but
please.
No. But really, it was just like, I want my mommy. Like, it was so bad.
I will say they all committed to their accents.
Committed is the word.
And that's all I can really give them. Participation points.
Beej, you're the one who's always tough on child actors. Did they pass muster for you?
I don't know how I got this reputation for being tough on children in the industry.
You are tough on child actors. Whenever you watch a show, you are always iffy about when kids are present.
I think children have a tougher time acting. In this case, this is a big cast of children, ranging from young all the way up to teenagers. I think overall they did well. None of them had a significant amount of screen time except for Cassidy. And I think that helped. So they all came in for their one little joke here and there, and then back to the background and let Bailey move the plot along. In fact, I don't feel like we saw much of Beau and Summer as well. This is very a Bailey-centric episode.
And I think that the actor who played Cassidy did a good job in that role of daughter who doesn't trust new nanny because she misses her mom. That's like a trope we've seen often, and she did a good job with it in her exchange with Bailey when she was arguing with Bailey over using her late mom's guitar to play music to calm the family down. Speaking of music, this show feels like a vehicle for us to listen to Catherine McPhee tiptoe into country music.
It really does. Conveniently, Bo's family had a band, and so they have all the instruments needed. The son, Dylan, is an aspiring manager, and we already know Catherine McPhee from American Idol, so she has that desire to sing, she has the talent to sing. I would just say country music is a niche genre, and that might be her way into being a star in the music industry. People know her for singing, but she's never really reached the top.
You know who buys records? Country fans.
They're very loyal.
They buy the hard records, and so they give their favorite artists the best album ranking and chart ranking and sales and all of that because they give them the best sales. So maybe this is Catherine McPhee tapping into one of the strongest markets in music.
How far apart were Carrie Underwood and Catherine McPhee in terms of their American Idol?
I'm not an Idol girl. I don't know. But you watched Smash. Did she do any country records on Smash?
No, I don't remember any country music on that.
So did you feel like her music added to the show?
I liked that. It really helps round out Bailey as a character, because otherwise she really is a random person showing up on their doorstep. So having that country singer background, having her being an aspiring artist, gives her something more than being a nanny. And I think adding in that music also will bring everyone in the family together for some nice, wholesome moments. How do you feel about that addition?
I thought the music was good because Catherine McPhee is an undeniable talent, but it lacked some character, and I don't think it added enough of story to the story. Going forward in the show, I hope that they would improve that so that there's a little more feeling behind the music and it adds more to the plot. All right, Beej, so do you want to watch more episodes of Country Comfort on Netflix?
I do not want to watch more episodes of Country Comfort on Netflix. I would not watch again, but I think this is much more of a family comedy show with some music, which is not the type of show I look for my entertainment. But I do think that this, like I said, would be good for some families to watch together, you know, after dinner, check out an episode of Country Comfort. Honestly, if you're a big country music fan, I also wouldn't recommend it for them just based on that. But otherwise, if you want a chill family comedy and you like Catherine McPhee, this is for you. But I'm not that person. Are you that person?
I'm not that somebody. But I will say that if you are a country music fan, Eddie Cibrian is married to Leanne Rimes, who I believe will make an appearance on the show. So at the very least, you can tune in for the Leanne Rimes of it all. But if you're not a country girl, if you're not someone who's looking for something that is okay for you to watch as well as for the kids to watch, I think that there are other stronger family sitcoms for you to enjoy.
Okay, so how about we shift from family-friendly shows to something a little more adult-oriented with Invincible on Amazon Prime Video. This is a new animated superhero series where we're following Mark Grayson, who will eventually take on the name Invincible. He starts as a normal teenager, but his father is Nolan, aka Omni-Man, the most powerful superhero on the planet. And in this first episode, we're seeing him shortly after his 17th birthday, and he's finally starting to develop superpowers just like his father, with super strength and the ability to fly, and probably much more as he continues to train. Mitu, what were your first impressions of this animated superhero series?
Confusion. So for people who are watching this show who are not Animated Hive, Superhero Hive, DC Marvel Hive, etc., etc., Comic Book Hive, then I think that you may be confused as well if you were to watch this. The tone on this show is inconsistent in that Mark Grayson is a teenager. He's voiced by Steve Yeun. And you think that it's going to be a cute show where he learns his powers, he stops some bad guys, and he has a push-pull with his dad, Nolan, also Omni-Man, voiced by J.K. Simmons. But it's not just that. It's not just Mark awkwardly trying to confront bullies at school in hopes that his powers kick in, or having a very funny exchange with the bank robber as he tries to stop a robbery in progress to practice being a superhero. We also see some very gory things. It just shifted maybe 3/4 of the way through the episode, and it went from cute show I could see myself watching to, oh, I'm not going to watch this bloody stuff.
Also, there were some heartfelt moments with his mother, Debbie, voiced by Sandra Oh. But I will agree, this is strictly an adult animated series. I think I had a better inkling of where this was going to go before we watched, so I wasn't as surprised with that shift at the end. But I do think that they are going to keep that lighthearted, bumbling new superhero type of interactions. But then they also want people to know, hey, this is an animated series. This is an adult series on Amazon. We can go all out. And that means if someone has super strength and they hit someone, they're not just going to fall over without us seeing any blood.
I was wondering when the show started and it was like, warning, and it just had all these things that you would see. And then I was like, oh no, this is going to be really scary. And then we see Mark and his mom, voiced by the very perfect being Sandra Oh, and they're having a touching moment. And Debbie, his mom, is telling Nolan how to be a better, more affectionate dad toward Mark and understanding of him, trying to understand his powers. And we have these funny exchanges. Even when these monsters try to break into the White House, it's funny the way that they fail at it. And so I was lulled into a sense of calm. I completely forgot about that warning until we saw a punch that ended up really bloody and some other stuff. Yeah, it caught me off guard. So one thing that I didn't immediately pick up on when watching was that the rest of the Guardians crew are based on existing other superheroes. As a comic book aficionado, how did you feel about them having War Woman, who is basically Wonder Woman, or the Red Rush, who was basically the Flash, or Darkwing, who was Batman?
You really paid attention. I'm impressed. And Omni-Man, who's basically Superman.
Picked up on that too after I googled it.
I will be honest, I was a little disappointed that they were so directly inspired by those superheroes from DC. I know that giving someone super strength and the ability to fly, it's hard to avoid comparisons of Superman and a lot of these other characters, especially like Red Rush. You give someone super speed, it's hard not to compare them to the Flash. But this seemed a little too on the nose. I would have preferred a little more creativity or originality with the superpowers. I think the personalities are what really helps them stand apart from those characters they're inspired by. I want something that surprises me. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. That's different. And I think after what happens at the end of this first episode, watch until after the credits. There's a lot actually after the credits. I think that is telling us we're going to see more newer superheroes who I think will be impressive and interesting, because the villains we saw, those didn't remind me of anyone. A guy with a giant jetpack with plutonium. There was a guy who had like a laser cannon arm. Another guy who looked like he was made out of stone. All of those bad guys, they stood out to me as interesting, superpowered individuals.
The clone bad guys were really funny, where they were fighting over who was the original.
How did you feel about being so heavily inspired by DC superheroes that you love and care about so much? You grew up with Batman.
Y'all, as a peek behind the curtain, I did not realize that they were based on other people until maybe the last 6 minutes of the show. The character based on Batman gets in what looks like Batman's plane. And I was like, oh, yeah.
I've seen something like that.
It was so embarrassing. And I turned to my partner and I was like, he looks like Batman. And my partner was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, like these people. So they may all seem a little familiar to you. So I guess if someone like me were watching this show, I don't know that we would notice or care. So do you want to watch more episodes of Invincible on Amazon Prime?
I think I would watch again casually. I don't particularly like the gory superhero vibe that's going on with this, similar to The Boys, also on Amazon. But I do think Mark Grayson as Invincible is an interesting enough character where he really is trying to find himself with these new powers. Can he live up to the same status as his father, Omni-Man? Is he really going to start to pull apart from his normal Earth self like his mom? Those are all interesting questions that I want to continue exploring. How do you feel?
I don't want to watch more episodes. I would say for people who are not comic book or superhero fans, I don't think this one was interesting enough to make you want to watch this genre.
Yeah, this would not pull you into the genre. This is for people already into this niche of more adult-oriented superheroes. So let's shake things up and go on the ice, me too.
Let's take things to the ice, as you said, from Canada all the way across the pond to England with Zero Chill on Netflix. Kayla, played by Grace Beattie, and Mac, played by Dakota Taylor, are twin ice sport phenoms. Their family moves from Canada to England so Mac can train in a prestigious hockey program run by former NHL superstar Anton, played by Oscar Skagerberg. Ice skater Kayla is struggling with the move because she had to leave her partner Jacob, played by Kenneth Tynan, behind. We'll follow this family as they explore new responsibilities in a new country.
I just want to start off by saying I applaud the cast for all going through ice skating training. So a lot of the scenes on the ice are the actors. I think the only restrictions they really gave the cast were they're not allowed to do jumps just because of the higher risk of injury. But if they're just like skating across the ice, that probably is them. And that's pretty cool.
Really impressive. So the first thing that we see in this show is that there is this push and pull between the siblings. Mac is a hockey player, and it seems like he doesn't respect Kayla's talent in ice skating. Their family has to figure out how to properly divide attention between them. Kayla is extremely talented, but she had to leave her partner behind in Canada. And so she's feeling a little directionless in England. And then for Mac, he's figuring out how to be on a new team, these new added pressures, and he's trying out for the NHL himself. He's on this path to professional hockey. So how do his parents divvy up time between these two?
It's definitely a tough situation where Mac's career on the ice is already headed in more places than Kayla's career was. And the parents made that choice for both of them to really give Mac that chance to pursue things. And I think there's probably some bias because their father, Luke McBentley, played by Doug Rao, also played hockey, also at this same place run by Anton.
He was Anton's teammate, too.
Yeah, so there's this nostalgia factor that I'm sure is helping him or is biasing him towards Mac's career over Kayla's career. But we do see in a picture, Kayla has won an award, at least one for ice skating. So she has potential. And it's just a little sad that her sibling, who has maybe more recognized potential.
I do think the dad is living through his son a bit. He has that awkward exchange with Anton where he talks about being back on the ice, and it's clear the dad wants to please the coach as well. And Anton at one point kind of suns him. He's like, actually, I don't need you on the ice. I need you in the stands taking footage of the team as you assistant coach for me. And the dad is like, oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. I'll get out there. And it just is embarrassing to the point where even Mac notices and sort of grimaces at how maybe desperate his dad is to please Anton. So yeah, there's a lot of weird family dynamics of living your parents' dreams happening. We even see that with Kayla a bit and her mom, where her mom tells her she's on the path toward an award. She sets her up with this partner audition in England so that she can replace Jacob. And the partner is literally dangerous. He's smaller than Kayla. He can't lift her. He has a problem with dropping partners. You have to have someone, I assume, in ice skating who can physically lift you or physically match up with you so that they're not throwing you and then unable to catch you.
How do you feel about Kayla rebelling? Because despite her mother's attempts to support her career in England, Kayla is still very unhappy about losing her partner Jacob because he's still in Canada. And she is sneaking out to practice her routines. And she's also embarrassing Mac because she is jealous and hurt that he's getting all of the attention from their parents.
I would say shout out to Grace Beatty and Dakota Benjamin. I believe every second of their tension. It's palpable how much they are tired of each other and frustrated with each other. There is a scene where Mac is about to start practice and Grace plays keep away with the puck and basically tries to show him that on her ice skates, she is just as fast, if not faster, than Mac on his hockey skates. And it embarrasses him in front of his team. It's a display in front of everyone. He has to essentially tackle her to get the puck back. So you just really believe the tension between them. And then what you said with Grace sneaking out, she has this undeniable talent. She goes to the rink in the middle of the night in order to practice with Jacob or FaceTime because she wants to hit him daytime where he is. And it's beautiful to watch. She also meets a mysterious skater while she's there in a hockey uniform with a mask who ice dances really well.
Yeah, really does some literal dancing at the beginning of their routine.
Yes.
What other mysteries do we have going on?
That is a really good segue, Beach, because there is another mystery. We're to believe that this family moved to England because they wanted to go for a training program for Mac to step up his hockey even more. However, there is a small scene, and this isn't a spoiler because we don't know anything, where he seems to try to apologize for something larger to his mom, and she says, "I thought we left that behind," or something to that effect. So it leads me to believe that they're also running from something in Canada. And I wonder if they'll return to Canada on a family trip and it comes up, or if someone from Canada will bring it to England, just something that makes history catch up with Mac.
This is less of a mystery and more of a prediction type question I have for you. While watching this, this made me think of a lot of those teen ice skating movies. I think Disney even made some of them.
Yeah, starring Michelle Trachtenberg.
Yes. So you have the teenage girl who's an ice skater, but then she also does hockey to prove I can do it all. Do you see Kayla playing hockey? Do you see any of Mac's hockey teammates on the Hammers being her ice skating partner? What kind of crossover do you see as potentially coming up?
Definitely one of his teammates, maybe the captain of the team or someone who doesn't really like Mac, will be the ice skating partner for Kayla. They may have a romance, and then it's just going to cause lots of nice, juicy teen drama attention.
I think that's like inevitable. I think I already have a good idea of which one of Mac's teammates dislikes him enough that he would partner with Kayla. Do you see Kayla trying to play hockey if her ice skating career can't get back up to speed?
I don't think so. I thought they were hinting at it with her being able to skate faster than Mac, but she has such a disdain for the sport and the coach seems super intense. They're positioning him as this guy who used to play for the NHL and he's really intense and he's grooming only the best. So I don't think he would then invite her to be on the team. He threatened to kick her out after her stunt.
I mean, I would too.
It was dangerous.
Dangerous. She disrupted and disrespected the practice in the rink.
It was weird to watch a bunch of people stand still and silently watch two teens fight with ice skates. They even used some of the people as props and stood behind them to get away from each other. It was just sort of a funny thing to witness. So, do you want to watch more episodes of Zero Chill on Netflix?
I think maybe I would watch again while doing laundry, especially if you told me to watch more episodes. I would check them out occasionally, but this isn't a series I see myself watching regularly. However, I am curious about Kayla and Mac's future. I want to know what's going to happen with their ice skating and hockey careers. How do you feel?
I agree. I would watch again casually. I don't think this is a show I would binge, but I do think if you're looking for a good Netflix drama, teen drama, this fits that. It's just a show that you can watch some juicy things unfold. You'll have some secrets revealed, and the episodes are under 40 minutes, which is really great as well. Because I think sometimes these shows take themselves too seriously and this one doesn't.
Do you know what's also under 40 minutes?
What?
Calls on Apple TV+.
A fraction of 40 minutes. All right, Beej, let us know what happened on it.
So this is a new drama series. It's an American and French production, and it's actually based on a French series of the same name, and it's all told through phone conversations. And this is chronicling a mysterious story that's following a group of seemingly disconnected people whose lives are getting shaken up by some life-changing event that is happening. And one of the interesting aspects about this being told through phone conversations is that we only hear the voices of these people talking. We don't see them on their phones. And Apple and the team behind this show have come up with an interesting visual representation of the voices, and we get some of the text as well. So in this first episode titled The End, we have Nicholas Braun, Lily Collins, and Karen Gillan as our main voices. They are in a love triangle and a long distance relationship. And so it's all about Tim talking to his girlfriend Sarah about what the future is going to hold for them. And then we also find out Camilla is Tim's new girl in LA. And then weird stuff starts happening to everybody. And we don't know what happens because we can't see it. And we just hear them kind of describing the events, which makes it even creepier. It leaves a lot up to your imagination, which I think makes it more exciting than it would be if we actually saw what was going on.
I agree. I couldn't tell if this was, I think on Decider, they called it a COVID cash grab, where like, sure, just record into your phone and we'll all get an Apple TV show. Or if they really did want to experiment with this medium. But I will say that the voice acting was really good. I don't know that I needed the added visual elements. I was already sucked into the story, especially from Tim's perspective, voiced by Nicholas Braun. Tim, I believed as this hapless guy who isn't doing super well in LA, moved there from New York to try to build a career in entertainment, and he's torn between two women whom he is attracted to. I just was sucked into that story alone. Like him being on the phone with Sarah and trying to awkwardly break up with her, but clearly not being into it. Clearly there's still feelings there. And then him on the phone with Camilla and trying to tell her that, you know, it's okay and their relationship is strong and he is going to break up with Sarah. I was already like into that trio. And then you add the elements of Sarah saying, I think someone is trying to break into my house. And that's when some of the visuals come in where she calls the 911 dispatcher and the call gets fuzzy. And when the call goes fuzzy, the captions go from English characters to like alien almost looking or symbols or things that imply some otherworldly being might be disrupting this call as foreshadowing. I don't even think I needed those visual elements to appreciate and get excited by the story.
Think, and we'll get into this in our rating, we both feel that this would work perfectly fine as a podcast. This could be an audio drama. You listen to each story. It is a phone call, so you don't even expect to have a visual element to it. To be honest, I don't think the visual element adds that much. It's a cool flourish, but I think it's just a cool flourish to justify this as a TV series.
I also wonder about the accessibility of it. If you are hard of hearing, what you're seeing, if it makes sense.
What are the closed captions describing?
Yes. And then if the characters shift, is it made clear to you in the captions, you know, call breaking up? Is this being conveyed to you in a way that it makes sense?
That's really interesting because that could mean spoilers due to them having to make things more obvious in closed captions. And that happened in WandaVision where the closed captions, and I think a lot of movies and shows with mysteries, the closed captions are forced to reveal some details in order to make it obvious what's on the screen.
That's true. And I always watch things with closed captions. I don't like to miss lines, especially when I watch comedy. I don't want to miss the punchlines. I love reading it too.
It's an interesting quirk.
Okay, lots of people watch things with closed captions. My home is a closed caption home. So with that said, I do have some questions about accessibility with the show and if everyone is able to enjoy it as much as possible. But I agree with you. I was tempted while I was watching it, get up and go make tea and do other things in my kitchen and just walk away from the visual. but just still taking in the story. It reminded me of the podcast Deadly Manners, which was that mystery series that I loved with Kristen Bell and Michelle Visage and RuPaul and other people. It made me think of that, just like a fun radio drama.
I think that's the perfect description. So Me Too, will you watch or maybe listen to more episodes of Calls on Apple TV Plus?
Yes. If you are someone who likes mysteries and you enjoy podcasts like Deadly Manners that are fiction and tell a really cool story, then I would recommend Calls to you. I don't think that I will watch any more episodes. I think I will listen to them though. So I'm going to put it on my TV and then do other things and listen to it and enjoy the mystery unfolding.
You could do it on your phone.
Oh, that's true too. What about you?
I feel the same way. I will listen to this again seriously.
Listen to it again seriously. That's the rating.
It's 9 episodes. They're all pretty quick. And I'm not compelled to see the visual aspect. But I do want to hear more about this story. There's a very interesting mystery. There seems to be some otherworldly things going on. So I'm in. I'll keep listening.
That's true. We should add that they're 13-minute episodes. I can't remember if we said that. So it's really short.
Yeah, I think we just said less than 40.
Yeah.
So if you want to find more of our reviews for things to watch, and I guess now listen, head to our website at thepilotpodcast.com and remember to follow us on all of your favorite podcast platforms.
I forgot to answer the spoiler question again. I know how to ice skate. I don't know how to do anything but go forward and stop. Yet, maybe I will go to England and be trained as well.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Who knows? Once we get out of this panoramic, like, what will we do? You can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at The Pilot Pod. You can send thoughts, feelings, show suggestions, recommendations. Every other week, we review a show recommended by you, our listeners, to askthepilotpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Bye.